Let's go to Rodney Orr of Tider Insider. You can follow him on Twitter, Tider Insider. There again, CEO, cook, and lawn boy from last night's activities. As he was cutting the grass, Pat, when I checked with him last night, it's winter time. It was nighttime, and Rodney said, "Griff, I'm cutting the grass.
Got to cut that winter rye. Got to get it down."
That's right.
That's the most crazy thing I've ever heard in my life. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great.
You guys. All of you.
Yes, so Pat and I want your crystal ball because it's even better than Johnny Carson's. Because you were talking about Brian Daboll, and then it happened Friday night. So that was no surprise to you. What do you know about how it transpired?
Well, I just, you know, again, the what I was told originally was that he was a guy to keep an eye on, that he was the one that Nick Saban had at the top of his list from very early on after Sarkisian left. And he had kind of identified Brian Daboll as someone that he was extremely high on and would like to bring in. And, you know, he goes way back with Nick Saban. That's where he started his career, I think, in 1998 as a graduate assistant under Nick Saban at Michigan State. So they're very familiar with each other. And, of course, you know, Daboll working for Bill Belichick, one of Saban's good friends. And so he certainly understands what it takes to work in a very demanding organization. So I think it's probably a really good fit.
How about Gonsi? Was Gonsi real close to being in this, or is this someone that Saban just did the noise out there in regards to Gonsi being a legitimate candidate, or was this a Daboll decision the whole time?
I think Gonsi was certainly a very legitimate candidate. He's someone that they talked to, and I think he actually came into Tuscaloosa and met with some of the coaches. And I don't think there's any question that Nick Saban was very high on him as well. You know, he has a background with Bill Belichick, too, and spent 6 years in the NFL. So I think he was very highly regarded. I just think that from the very beginning, from what I was told and gathered, that, you know, Daboll was the guy that Nick Saban really wanted and pursued him pretty hard, and everything worked out.
At the end of the day, was it because he was familiar with him as a grad assistant for 2 years?
I think it's really he likes him as a coach, his schemes, the things that he does, his experience. He's had a lot of success, and I know people say, well, you look at his three stints as offensive coordinator in the NFL, and they did not have a tremendous amount of success. But on the flip side of that is you have to consider, you know, his personnel at those stops was not the best, especially at quarterback. They really had some journeyman-type guys that he had to work with, and but I think overall, when you talk to people up there in Boston, in that area that cover the Patriots, they hold him in very high esteem up there, because even though people say, well, he's a tight ends coach, the truth is he has a lot of input in terms of the development and design of their offense and what they do, especially in the running game. So I think that he's extremely qualified, and that's what Nick Saban, you know, really liked about him. And plus the fact that, like I said, he understands what it takes to work within a demanding organization.
Rodney, a lot of people, a lot of fans, whether it's on your website or other social media, they were kind of unenthused by this hire. I don't know if it's because of the fact that this will be the first ever Canadian-born offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama, or what the situation is. But can you talk about that for a minute, about just the fact that it might not be the big splashy hire, but most people in the industry say that this was indeed a good hire for Alabama?
Well, I think sometimes what happens is people, fans out there, they want the name, you know, the familiarity of it. You know, that's something that maybe has a little bit to do with it. They had never heard of Brian Daboll before this, you know, before this process started. So I think that's part of it. And then they want to go look at the resume, and they look on there and they say, well, he was with the Browns, the Chiefs, and whoever, Dolphins. And they say, this is what happened, but they don't really look deeper into it and dig into it and find out that, like I said earlier, the personnel that he had at those stops and the difficulties he faced. You know, so I think that that's really what fans get into. But like I tell some of those on my board, a few of those who on Tider Insider who expressed like you're talking about, disappointment or whatever. You know, Nick Saban is the best in the business in college football at putting a staff together. Can he make a mistake? Certainly he can, but generally he gets it right. And I think that, you know, in this instance, he's put a lot of effort into, you know, kind of thinking who would be the right guy, the right fit, and he seemed to be really convinced that Brian Daboll is that guy. So, I mean, I would put a lot of stock in what Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and those types of people feel about someone.
People don't look, you're right, deep, and we talked about it earlier before you came on the show. The fact is the guy has been hired three times as an NFL offense coordinator, so somebody thinks highly of him, right? And also, this is a guy that was an offensive coordinator at age 31. He's still a young coach at 41. The Dolphins had a 1,000-yard runner receiver on the same team for the first time ever. The Browns improved their scoring the second half of their first year by 11 points and then improved in a bunch of categories. Brett Favre had his second highest completion percentage ever when he was the quarterback coach with the Jets. So there are things there. Because if you look at Daboll and say, well, they weren't very good offensively, then you'd have to look at him now and go, wow, he must be a great tight end coach because of Rob Gronkowski. That's what Pat and I have been joking about. So both are true, and I'm not sure really either is true, right? I mean,
well, I mean, again, I think the one thing that's very impressive with him, about him, is the fact that he has a varied background. You just went through some of that. You know, he's had success as a position coach, and he's coached just about every position. You mentioned quarterback, tight ends. He's coached receivers. He had Deion Branch 1 year, I think, that was maybe been the Super Bowl MVP, or was certainly an outstanding player, had a great year. And so he's done a tremendous job, whether it's coaching whatever position or, you know, with the input that he has. When you talk to people, like I said, that cover the organization, that know what exactly he does, they say, hey, listen, he's got this title of tight ends coach, but he's very qualified to carry the title of offensive coordinator. And a lot of what he does, Bill Belichick depends on him greatly in terms of helping them design the things that they do. And he just has a varied background. And I think, too, one thing about this hire is, you know, he's 41 years old. He's very mature. When you talk to people, he's not a guy that brings any drama. So I think that that's certainly something that, you know, would be beneficial here at Alabama after the past 3 years. You know, that's been things with Lane Kiffin. And to be honest with you, Sarkisian did nothing, but there was always those innuendos out there. And again, that wasn't Sark's fault, but you always had that. This guy, Daboll, is, you know, appears to be just a guy that's very focused on what the organization's trying to accomplish.
Purely speculative, of course, Rodney, but what do you anticipate being different about this offense with him at the helm as opposed to what we've seen the last couple of years?
Well, I think one thing is, and like we said a few weeks ago, when you look at some of Alabama's talent on the offensive side of the ball, I think you look at some of the offensive linemen, they've got some big, strong, physical guys that can really seem like have the ability to control the line of scrimmage, dominate their guys. So I think when you look at that, you look at all the running backs they have, four or five really talented running backs, the ability to pound the football, I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see Alabama try to really reestablish the line of scrimmage in a physical way. And with those running backs. But at the same time, like I said, that doesn't mean that you don't utilize your other weapons, tight ends, wide receivers, which they have some good ones, and continue to develop the quarterback. Now, I'll say this, too. I would expect, I think that probably one thing Daboll really wants to do is simplify things in the passing game. I don't think he feels like it has to be that complex to be successful. In fact, you talk to some people up there in New England, and they say, listen, this passing attack that New England uses is not really that sophisticated. It's not extremely difficult for the quarterback to figure out mentally. I mean, you certainly have a lot of things that it requires mentally. Don't get me wrong, getting it to the right spot and all of those things. but it's not something that's really difficult for a quarterback in terms of learning and having more on him like Hurts had maybe last year to really have to think about.
Rodney Orr of Tider Insider, our guest here for a few minutes. I brought up the question of recruiting. He hasn't done a lot of it, hasn't done a lot of it in years. But he does have three Super Bowl rings. That tends to, when you throw bling in front of a kid's eyes, that tends to help out. How do you see him from that standpoint?
Well, I think that it's tough to say exactly how he will adjust to recruiting. I don't know. He hasn't, like you said, done it in a while. But one thing for sure, first of all, this staff is, as you know, led by Nick Saban, it recruits extremely well. They have several outstanding recruiters on board, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think with him, the like you said, the reputation that he brings, and the success that he's had certainly would be something that would be, something that I guess if you're a high school prospect, you're an offensive skill player, whatever it might be on that side of the ball, that you would be extremely impressed with the fact that he's been a part of all those Super Bowl championships. And, he's worked with some really great players. I mean, think about all the guys that he's worked with. And you throw out some of the comments that Tom Brady's had that's made about him and some of the other players. It's pretty impressive what they've had to say in the past about him and how he's helped them develop.
Who does this benefit more, Jalen Hurts, him coming on board, or Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, and also, Mac Jones is here now, Pat,
yeah.
And I wouldn't rule him out, too. He's a really good player, just got into school. So all three of those guys, I think it really, in terms of just overall development, it's going to help every one of them. Again, I think Hurts last year, the last half of the season, I'm not really sure how much, Lane Kiffin helped him out. So think about having a guy here that's really focused and doing everything he can to develop these guys. I think all of them, it's going to be interesting to watch spring practice and see, exactly how everything starts to come together.
One thing that we have talked about with you is the potential quarterback coach on this staff. Who would be the quarterback coach? Will that be DeBall or will it be someone else currently on staff?
Well, he did coach with the Jets. He coached a couple of years. He did coach quarterbacks. So I would think that would probably kind of fall into his lap, is my guess. That would be his position to coach. And that's just a guess because I think Michael Oxley will coach the wide receivers. There's the story's out that Joe Panunzio is returning as a tight end special teams coach. And, you've got Brent Key on the offensive line. So you're pretty much full there in terms of all your spots on the staff. So I would think Dable would assume the quarterback coaching position.
And as we said, Brett Favre had the second highest completion percentage ever in his career under Daboll coaching him. So let's talk about in general on recruiting. Mike Locksley goes up, Napier gone, Cristobal gone. Help me on who else is gone.
Napier's gone. You mentioned
Cristobal's gone. Kiffin's gone, obviously. So Daboll comes in, Locksley's in.
He didn't do much in recruiting.
Right. So Locksley's in, Panuzio's in, and now Daboll. So let's go with those three, with the three that left recruiting-wise, if it matters at all.
Well, Locksley is as good a recruiter probably as there is. He's outstanding. He's right there with Cristobal, who was also outstanding. He's got real strong ties in the Atlantic seaboard on the upper East Coast and down in Florida where he used to be. As you remember, when Ron Zook was pulling in all those great classes in Florida, He was the guy who was doing all the recruiting. And then when Zook went to Illinois and they went to the Rose Bowl, Locksley was the guy in charge of getting all those guys who contributed to that success. So, he's outstanding. Panunzio has he's had a strong reputation as a recruiter as well, in the past. There's no question about that. And his forte, I think, is coaching special teams. So that'll be a big addition there. And again, like Daboll, we mentioned him. you know, I just think it's just a matter of, you know, allowing this thing to play out and see how he adjusts to the recruiting. But I don't think there's going to be any issues. I think, as I mentioned, all of his credentials would be impressive, I think, to any recruit. I just think that the coaching staff is, you know, again, when you look at it as a whole, all the recruiters on the defensive side, on the offensive line, Brent Key's an outstanding recruiter as the offensive line coach. You look on the defensive line, I think Carl Dunbar did a fantastic job recruiting this year. In fact, he probably was instrumental, very instrumental in pulling off Isaiah Buggs, the junior college player, and also Fedarian Mathis out of Louisiana. So he did an outstanding job. We know Jeremy Pruitt's not only one of the best recruiters in the country, but he's probably certainly right up there as a talent evaluator. Derek Ansley also does an outstanding job. And Tosh LePoy, I mean, again, that's another elite recruiter. So it's a fantastic recruiting core staff members.